Thank you for the singing. That was great. Take your Bibles and let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're still there, still making our way to the finish of this book. Been here a while. We're in chapter 15. So find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to pick it up in verse 35 when you find your place there. We've talked about the resurrection. These folks had a struggle with it. They weren't sure. Some of them believed that there was not going to be a resurrection, didn't believe Christ was raised, and Paul explained and went through all of that clearly. He taught them about the order of the resurrections. There's going to be a resurrection to salvation, but there's also our eternal life. There's also a resurrection to damnation, and he kind of shared some of that with them, beginning verse 20 down to verse 34. And so we're at verse 35 now, talking about the resurrection a little bit more. So when you find your place there, we'll go ahead and begin reading together. All right. Verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body which shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differ from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. It is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of all this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again thanking you for this time that we can be together. We pray now that as we look into these things, you would guide and direct. Again, we would have your discernment and your wisdom to know what Paul is teaching through the word of God that you've given him, Father. And I pray now you go before us and that you would help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here in verse 35, we see the pattern of the resurrection, the idea. And so Paul is raising two rhetorical questions where he says, but some men will say. So again, he's writing a letter to them and he said, now somebody's going to say this based on what he's already said. Some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Well, those are good questions, are they not? You think about that. There are some Christians today that really don't understand this whole thing about resurrection and to be absent in the bodies, to be present with the Lord, right? Is that a bodily resurrection? No. That's right. That's the spiritual aspect of it, because the bodily resurrection we're going to see comes at a certain time. So again, there's a lot of people that have misconceptions about this, and so we can see these folks did as well. So he said, some of you are going to ask these questions. So he kind of gets kind of pointed here, and he says, thou fool, in this letter, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And so he's going to give an illustration here to help them to understand what this means. Okay, and so he's going to use the illustration of a grain of wheat. So that word thou fool means ignorant one here, okay? So we're all ignorant at some times because there are things we do not know. So anyway, verse 37, he says, and that which thou sowest not that body, that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. We'll stop right there for a second. So he's talking about these seeds are planted in the ground, and they are dead. And once they're planted in the ground, then they are quickened. The sun, the rain, the things that take place in this seed, it's going to open up, and it's going to bring in new life. And so it'll come alive. And it's God that gives it the body that it pleases. Now, I'm not a farmer, and I don't know that much about farming. I mean, there are different seeds, different types of seeds. If you showed me a handful of seeds, I wouldn't know what that seed was going to produce. I'd look at it and go, okay, what's going to come out of this? People know that because they have the experience. They're not ignorant like I am, okay? But God knows all that. He planned all that ahead of time. And he's given those seeds purpose, and he's given them the ability to produce what he had them to produce. So this whole idea is that these seeds will die and they will be raised up. The same happens with us. We are going to die eventually, physically, if the Lord doesn't come back, and he'll address that a little bit later. But if the Lord doesn't come back and I die, I'm going to be planted in the ground. That is my body. But where am I actually going to be? I'm going to be with the Lord, but I won't have a body. Strange things, right? But God is a spirit, and I will be with him at that time. But then, when the Lord comes back, and we'll get to that in a little bit, things change. So let's go on. So he talks about these different bodies. Now, I wanted to just say this. Again, clearly from the Bible, we see another point of argument against evolution, okay? Paul addresses this right here, and that's not what he's addressing, is evolution, but this is what comes out, because he says, all flesh is not the same flesh. Evolution tends to teach that we all came from amoeba and, you know, on through there, and all you guys are monkeys, your tails fell off, and now you're here. That kind of thing. Well, that's not what happened, by the way, and you can study the Word of God, and you know what the truth is. But he says, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, specifically. There's another flesh of beast, another of fishes, and another of birds. Okay, so he's separating these things, and he's talking about these different forms of these bodies. But there are also different types of bodies, where he says in verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is one. Celestial, heavenly bodies, terrestrial, or earthly bodies, okay? The sun and moon and stars, I think it says here. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star in glory. Isn't that amazing? Every one of those stars are different. And it's pointed out here how important, how neat to see the glory of God. And then he begins the resurrection of the dead, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam made a quickening spirit. Stop there for a second. Let's do, okay. And so is written, I already read that. Okay, brother. So just as the glory of the celestial body is one and the terrestrial is another, So the resurrection is as well for the earthly body, which is sown in corruption. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin in the world, death by sin, so death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's corruption. And that's who we are. Today I have a flesh. I have a body. This body is corrupt. I promise you it is. And yours is too. And how do you know that? Thank you. Go look in the mirror and you know real quick. Take a picture of yours, or look at a picture when we first got married and the difference today and how different that is, and just your body's falling apart. The things that ache and things you can't do anymore. You can tell it's a corrupt body. But the heavenly body, or the one that's incorruptible, is what we're going to be changed into. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? So our bodies are going to be changed. It's going to be revolutionary. It's going to be different. One is sown in dishonor, and one is raised in glory. One is sown in weakness, and one is raised in power. We're sown in the natural body, and it's going to be sown in a spiritual body. And verse 45 reminded us, and so it's written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Again, the idea, Genesis 2:7 reminds us, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the first Adam was a living soul, but the last Adam, that's Jesus Christ, is a quickening spirit. And how did that happen? When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when we were born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Our lives were transformed. We are different. Again, you see it all over the Bible. In verse 46, he compares the earthly and the heavenly. In verse 46, it says, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. In other words, we got this body first. We accepted Christ as our Savior. Now we're going to have a spiritual body that's going to be raised up. It will not be this same body in the corruption that it is. Could be the same body, but it won't be corrupt. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. Again, we know that this place is not our home. This is the place we're just passing through. This is not where our roots are. Even though sometimes we like to dig deep roots, this is not our place. This is just something the Lord has allowed us to be here as Christians for a purpose that He has a plan. It's a whole different outlook than a lot of times we look at things. He says, verse 48, as the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You can kind of think of that in the terms. Again, he's talking about this body. One day we're going to be in heaven, but a lost man, this is his heaven. This is it. What a wonderful place they're living. This is their life. This is the golden they're going to have. Everything that they grab and hang on to and live for, it's right here. Heaven. This is for the lost. Because hell is the worst place. For the Christian, this is the worst it gets. But there's a place that's a lot better. And one day we're going to walk on the streets of gold. And we're going to see our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're just passing through this place. We have something greater to look forward to. Verse 49 says, "As we have borne the image of the earthy, which we have, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, the glorified body. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because flesh and blood is corrupt. It cannot be with God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption, which God is incorrupt." So this new body comes with this new birth. And again, it's the idea that Paul shared in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Again, we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, and one day it will take place completely. Perfected. John penned the words in 1 John 3:2. Says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that we shall, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And that's going to occur, and not too long in the future, I believe. In verse 50, it says, "Now this I say, brethren," I've already read this, "that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption." So the whole idea again is that because of sin, and our bodies are flesh and they're sin. But then he says in verse 51, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Again, this is something that was not seen to a lot of people. The Israelites never saw the church. They never saw Christ coming back twice. They saw him one time. And he came twice. He came and he died. And he was buried. He rose again. He's coming back the second time. They didn't see it. Mystery. He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." We're not all going to die. It's a twinkling of an eye, he says. It could be any moment. It could be right this second. Are you ready? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, "for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So again, it has that whole idea of what we're taught in 1 Thessalonians. Now you can turn there if you like to, just to remind you where it is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, as Paul has penned these words to the church there, they were dealing with the situation about the resurrection as well. They weren't sure about things, and he just laid it out to them kind of clearly here. Especially didn't understand what was going to happen to those that already were in the grave. And there have been many, many Christians that have been in the grave since this was written. But in verse 13 he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall shout with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And these are comforting words to know that there's a time when I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have confidence in that. We can know that. And I hope everybody does. But go on back to our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is talking about the victory. In verse 54, he says, "So when this corruptible, this flesh that I live in, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal, which we have today, shall put on immortality, that is, live forever, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Boy, I'm looking forward to that. he says, "O grave, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." And so he said here, "as it is written." Again, you can find these passages in Scripture. Isaiah 25:8 reminds us, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it." Hosea prophesied in Hosea 13:14, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. And of course, the sting of death is sin. We know, for the wages of death is sin, the Bible teaches us. The strength of sin is the law, he says in Romans chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the idea that people, when they understand, which it's more difficult today because they don't believe in there's a God, but when they realize of their sin and understand it, it's clearly they know that they have a problem and they need to deal with that. And that's what brings everybody to Christ, is it not? It's the fact that you find out you're a sinner, you find out you have no hope and no help, and there's no way you can ever be with God, and you realize that Jesus Christ died for you. I got saved because I didn't want to die and go to hell. I didn't get saved because I loved the Lord, because I didn't. And a lot of people think that way in those terms. That's not the way it happens. And when you put your faith and trust in Christ, it transforms your life forever, and you have the victory. That's why Paul wrote in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing that we have done, but thanks be to God who has given us that victory." In 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, reminds us, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." The victory that we have. And finally, he ends the chapter in verse 48. "Because of all these things that we have just outlined," he said, in this chapter 15, about the resurrection and about the victory we have, he says, "Because of this, now here's where the rubber meets the road. Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord," whatever we do for the Lord is going to last for eternity. Whatever we do on this earth for ourselves or the things that are not important, they will be burned up. They will be gone. They will not survive. So the work of the Lord, again, has a lot of things with it. Part of it is studying to know the will of God. And part of it is telling others about Jesus Christ. And it's mostly giving God the glory throughout your life. And that's what the work of the Lord is. And that's what we're called to do. We're early, but that's okay because we have the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I pray you just continue to bless our church. I thank you for each member here. I thank you for how you're working in their lives and how you meet their needs, Father. I pray you continue to do so. Give them grace and give them the strength they need to accomplish that which you've called us each one to do. And Father, go before us and mark the path that we might be able to take the steps you have for us. Again, we thank you so much for your love, and we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and prepare for the Lord's